It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I love hearing from you. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We've got a great show planned for you each day next week. Next week is Veterans Day on November 11th. And the third and fourth segment of each day, we will be focusing on a veteran. And in fact, on two of the days, we will have World War II veterans. Steve, it is going to be an amazing week next week.
You know, people, I can't get enough, and I know a lot of enough about our listener base that they really value this type of show, this type of broadcasting. So you go.
Yeah, it's going to be, especially after what we've gone through this week, I think that it'll be really a treat for each of you. It's just going to be amazing. I'm so excited about what we have planned for you on Friday. Okay, so on Wednesday, we will have Kim Kimble, and he served on the aircraft carrier, the USS Hornet. And then next Friday, we will have a Major General John Ron. He was with the 5th Ranger Battalion, 1st Wave, Omaha, D-Day. So you guys are going to love it next week. So we've got a great show planned for you. I have been, Steve, in a funk for most of the week. We've gotten up and we've gone to work every day, but I haven't been as happy and chipper as I normally try to be.
Well, I'm not going to give away secrets, but Wednesday morning when we were all sitting here, when the show was over, I walked in to talk with you guys, and your body language was clearly different.
Really?
Yes.
I could never play poker.
you normally don't slump in your chair, and you were slumped.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sitting straight in my chair now because I've thought a lot about this. Talked with a number of my friends yesterday, and first thing, my friends, God's got this. We don't know quite how this is all going to work out, but the good Lord, the divine provider, has had his hand on this country, the United States of America, since our beginning. And I don't think he's going to abandon us yet. And so he's got this. We don't know what this is going to look like exactly. But as I was driving in, Steve, after we talked, I thought about this. And there is this quote from, it was Pastor Niemöller, I think it was, World War II. He was very good friends. He was a mentor of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And this is interesting. He said, first they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And I was thinking about where we are right now. We are seeing a groundswell of grassroots people, everyday hardworking Americans that have been so concerned about our country. What's happening right now? This has been percolating underneath the surface, but the mask is now off. That's why this book that Senator Ken Lundberg and Charles Heatherly have put together, Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and Why America Should Care, the mask is off, and I have to say I'm really grateful for this because I could not put my finger on what was going on. And Donald Trump, love him or hate him, whatever it is, you have to admit that he has brought clarity to these issues. And even with the election fraud that is going on, he's bringing clarity to what has been, again, percolating. We talked about it, the motor voter law was signed into law in 1993, which was the first year that Bill Clinton was in office. So it didn't take him any time to get that changed. And we now see what that is doing regarding the integrity of our elections. We agree that every legal vote should count. Every legal vote. Every illegal vote that is counted discounts your vote. And you should care about that. And when I was looking at Niemöller's, thinking about his quote, and again, this was regarding Nazi Germany, is that first they came for our institutions. They came for our media. And we didn't really do anything about it. They went for our education. We didn't do anything about it. They went for our churches. We didn't really do anything about it. Because we as polite company, we were told not to talk about politics and religion. But that is what we have to talk about because those are the things that affect our lives, Steve.
Well, I heard something the other day in one of the other major nationwide talk shows. And the guest or the host said something where it looked like it was not going the way it should go. And he almost congratulated the other side. He said, they've been at this for 104 years.
Yes.
Which triggered me. I said, okay, what happened 104 years ago? Started doing a little research, and I think that was the first term of Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the more I read, it's like, oh, I know what he meant.
Mm-hmm. And during Woodrow Wilson, that would be like the 19-teens.
Yes.
That was when those progressive amendments were also passed to the Constitution, like the income tax. And just think about it. If you want less of something, then you tax it. So if you tax people's income, they have less of it. They have less of what they want to do with their private property. And that was the beginning of this. We're now, as you mentioned, 104 years later. But let's think about this. We've seen examples of election fraud. Kevin Sorbo this morning had tweeted a video of, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, where an election worker opened up a ballot, was physically frustrated with it, wads it up, and throws it over in a pile. That is election fraud.
Not his job.
Not his job. And so I think what we need to do in these contested states where we are getting more and more examples of election fraud, I'm sure this will go to the Supreme Court, but I think that we need to do a do-over in each of these states, that we just do the whole new election for each of these states, because how can you trust all of this different election fraud? If it's happening over here, it's happening over here too. And isn't it interesting how the down ticket candidates and questions are not really changing? So are these ballots coming in, again, putting on our thinking caps, are these ballots coming in and they only have voted for president? That doesn't make any sense either, but we're not seeing all the election results change on everything else, Steve.
Well, exactly. And especially now that we've entered into the zone that we're in right now, even the, well, again, the counting that still goes on and or any recounts that are going to be mandated, which field are they going to be looking at the most? Which one is they going to focus on and not be concerned with the down ticket?
Well, then that invalidates that vote, and that is not the way it's supposed to work. And the idea that we've had such a groundswell of support in all these states, yet all of a sudden all these votes are coming in at the end for Joe Biden. They had this ready. They had this orchestrated, and we need to call them on it because we need now to stand, because now they're coming after us, and we need to stand. But, you know, one of the things that's so great about my show is that I buy my airtime, which means I have these great partners that help me do what we do every day. And on the line with me is one of my great partners. That's Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool, family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal, a lot has happened since we talked last week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. A very interesting election this year. A lot of surprises. Not an outcome that I would have expected. But, you know, here in Colorado, I think it was a little bit more predictable, especially on the state level. We lost a good Republican statesman in Cory Gardner. You know, it's kind of to be expected on the state level, and not surprised about that. But, you know, a bright spot for us here living in Douglas County is that all of our Republican representatives are returning to office. That includes our state representatives and state senators. So Kevin Van Winkle will be going back to the state house, as well as Patrick Neville and others from this year. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then within the county, we had some pretty, what we thought were going to be some pretty competitive race for county commissioner. And it turned out that the Republican candidate for reelection, Laura Thomas, won handily. And George Teal won for an open seat handily against his opponent as well. So the only bright spot, you know, for a conservative guy like me was that Douglas County remained conservative in a strong way.
And because of that, I think Douglas County is a place that people will want to do business. In fact, I had a listener that had reached out to me that had a business in Denver. And she said it was so difficult to do business in Denver that I finally moved to Douglas County, and she loves it there.
Yeah, and Douglas County is a successful place. It's filled with successful people, and one of the reasons why is that we're pro-business, business-friendly, especially small business. We didn't have a lot of ballot issues this year statewide that were really directly impactful on small business. Paid paternity leave, maybe, but I think there was an exception in the terms of what size of a business you have to be. But in general, we increasingly become a more difficult state to do business in. Douglas County is an exception, and I think our growth rate reflects that. A lot of businesses, when they move to Colorado, choose to locate here. We do see businesses moving from Denver here all the time. So we do everything we can do to be a pro-small business climate here in Douglas County. And that's key, and I think that's something that you and I are going to talk about quite a bit going forward, as we look more deeply into the state legislature and actions that we're having locally, really keeping an eye out for ones that are pro-small business or ones that are detrimental to small business.
And pro-small business is also pro-middle class, because it's because of people having property rights, being able to start their businesses, keep most of the fruits of their labor, most of their property, then that we have this big middle class, which is inherent in the American idea. Hal Van Herky, we're coming into the holiday season, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to do your Christmas shopping.
Yeah, we find out every year that knives are excellent Christmas gifts for those people on your list that you want to get something nice, but you don't know exactly what to get. Every guy appreciates getting a knife, even if they have several. Women love to have knives to carry in their purses for convenience and for defense and stuff like that. So we find every year that people are so excited when they come into the store and they go, "Oh, I'm glad I found you guys. You solved a lot of the problem points on my Christmas shopping list this year with something that somebody's going to appreciate and they're going to enjoy." And and even if you don't spend too much money, it still comes across as a nice, sizable gift. So every year we do well at Christmas time, and it's fun to hear the replies from people who weren't expecting to get that for Christmas or get that in their Christmas stocking, and how much they enjoyed it. So we're stocking up like crazy right now with inventory coming in every day to get ready for what is obviously our busiest time of the year, like most retailers in the store. So if you come by, you'll see a lot of stuff, new inventory on a daily basis.
And you're open 7 days a week. You're located right in Sedalia, Colorado. What's your hours, Hal Van Herky?
Yeah, we're open 10 to 6, and we, starting around Black Friday, we'll extend those hours to 10 to 7. And we'll update that on our website. I think I'll be on your show at least once before then. In fact, we're getting ready to launch our new website, which is what we're still spending a lot of time on right now. But we targeted the next time that I'm going to be on the show with you as our launch date for the new website. So hopefully we'll be able to announce that the next time I'm on the show with you in studio.
And that's just in a few weeks. So, Hal Van Herky, I greatly appreciate your partnership with The Kim Munson Show. People can get more information at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And before we go to break, I want to give a shout-out to another one of my great sponsors, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They are located right here. They have five locations in the metro area, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have lunch specials. They have great fish and chips. Of course, they're known for their wings, but their fish and chips are delicious as well. Wednesdays are Wings Day. All the wings you can eat for $15.99. They have kids eat free specials, and obviously they have all kinds of sports specials as well. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com, and we'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I wanted to make sure that I gave you the context of that that quote that I gave regarding Pastor Niemöller. And he was talking about Hitler and Nazi Germany. People didn't stand against Hitler. And ultimately, as he said at the very end, and then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. There was no one there for me. America is not in that position. The mask is off. We see what's going on. And we need to make sure that we stand here. And I didn't get to our quote either for the beginning of the show, and that was from Winston Churchill, because we are looking at socialism. This is socialism, communism is where we're headed if we go down the Biden-Harris agenda. And Winston Churchill said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. My friends, that is not where we want to go. So just wanted to give clarification on both of those things. Now on the line with me is one of my great partners, Lauren Levy, with Polygon Financial Group. He is a mortgage specialist. He works with a lot of different lenders, so he can actually get something tailored for you. Lauren Levy, it is great to have you on the show this morning.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
What do you think about the election?
The election that I'm still watching every night.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like I watch. I was at a friend's house last night, and they said that at one point their daughter came up and said, "Are you watching the Maps TV again?"
Like
it's become its own channel. You know, I was worried honestly about the blue wave, and I'm looking at it from a, I don't know how you say it. Cup is half full. That the Senate looks like it's going to hold. And that will have some sort of, checks and balances in place still. So with that said, I think things, at least in my world, in the world of lending, will stay stable.
And speaking of that, Patty had pulled a CNN piece from yesterday. It says mortgage rates hit a record low for the 12th time this year. So there is opportunity right now for people to buy a home or refinance. Great opportunity right now.
That's right. They, they say that the stock market and things, they tend to be have things already baked in. So mortgage rates had ever so slowly started to creep up. You and I have talked about this, I think, last week, in anticipation of what might happen based on what the polls were saying. And then over the night of the election, you could see like the Treasury yields and things pulling back pretty sharp. when it looked like it wasn't going to be a blue wave. And so that snapped the rates back, just kind of back to where they were when they were really at their lows. So it was kind of nice.
Okay. And one other thing, Lauren Levy, next week is Veterans Day week, and I am going to have a veteran on for each of the third and fourth segments for each day, which I'm so excited about it. But I know that over in the veterans mortgage arena, there's some great things for veterans. Quickly, what are those?
There are. So the best thing is the VA home loan, and it provides great opportunities for veterans or active duty military. They can buy a house with zero money down. They can take cash out of their home all the way up to the full value without mortgage insurance. And they have even lower rates than traditional loans. Their rates currently are around 2.25 to 2.375. So they have immense opportunity, even more than the regular person.
Okay. And people can reach you at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. And because of demand, allow some time. It used to be things could get turned around almost immediately, but there's so much demand that people need to plan ahead. I'd recommend that they make that call today to just do a discovery on this and see if you can help them out.
I agree. It's there's no cost to making the call and having a conversation.
Okay. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, thanks so much.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Okay. And Karen Levine, you know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. What do you think about the election, Karen Levine?
Well, Kim, as all the other persons on the call this morning have indicated, we wish it would have gone a different direction in many regards. But I am happy to report, I think it's positive, kind of the cup half full as opposed to half empty, is the Realtor Party was successful on some of our endorsements. We actually, the candidates we endorsed throughout the metro area, 75% of those got elected or reelected. So private property rights. We have some good representation statewide with regards to people who uphold what's important to the Realtor Party. So that's exciting. And we had three of the ballot issues that we were behind, and those also passed. So,
And which ones were those, Karen?
Those were the homeless issue in Denver, which we had opposed previous one on the ballot because it had a lot of extenuating circumstances and it was not going to be as effective. We asked them to go back to the drawing board as a council, and they did, and the proposal they put forth, I think, can provide some much needed assistance for homelessness in the city and county of Denver. So that was a positive. The other was
We hadn't really talked about that. I was thinking on state issues instead of local issues. But yesterday when we were talking, you did say that there is some good news that occurred down at Denver City Council also, I think, this last week.
Yes. We had been working hard for some property owners in Denver. There had been an application submitted on their property, and it's called an opposed landmark designation, owner opposed landmark designation. Seven owners of a condominium building, an old condominium building that had about $150,000 worth of deferred maintenance. And I believe we had a discussion about this early on,
right,
on the show.
And that was per condo owner, not for the whole thing.
Yeah,
for each condo owner. Yes.
It was a bad situation, and they knew that they were going to need to do something. So they looked at selling the property, and they did find a developer to come in and sell that property, develop that property, sell to that developer, and create a nice senior living campus. And then this opposed owner designation application was filed and stopped everything for these people, and they have been spending, I believe, the last 18 months fighting this. And last week, the applicants pulled their application. City Council, I believe, started to hear the value of home ownership and what was important, and taking away literally retirement dollars out of the pockets of these homeowners. So I was going to testify at the city council meeting and got notification late last week that it had basically been resolved by the pulling of the application by the applicant. So
right.
We were excited for that win for property owners.
And that pulling of the application was that they had applied for a landmark designation, which would have prevented these people from being able to sell their property and recoup the value of their property. And so that application was pulled, and it really didn't cost these people that were doing the application much of anything, but it was really affecting private property rights. Indeed, that is good news. I know, Karen Levine, yeah, that you and others were on this issue early. I so appreciate that you appreciate the value of private property rights and what you do in your spare time to protect that. You and I have been friends for many years. You are a real pro, and you can help people. You need somebody on your side of the table, whether or not you're buying or selling your home, or if you're doing a new build. Karen Levine, I highly recommend you are the person to call on that. Your phone number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You did the same, Kim. Thanks.
Okay. And now on the line with me is Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, I'm finally, I'm ready to fight. I kind of gave myself a couple of days to just be in a funk. It's now time, Monday morning. I've talked to my friends. We're going to go to work. How about you?
Well, that was an excellent introduction and opening question, but Jason's not here yet.
Really?
Really.
Oh, that's not like him.
Not at all.
Not like him at all. Okay.
Well, we have been joking with each other the last two or three mornings about finding a watering hole and drowning our sorrows. So maybe he started without me. I don't know.
Maybe he did do that. Well, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management, they are a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. And Jason is typically, I mean, this is a first. So this makes me a little bit worried.
Well, I can set my watch by that guy.
Yeah, the mom and me. I know that all of you are going to be wondering what's going on with Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. But Jason and Presidential is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. And Jason spends so much time as he prepares for the show, as we prepare. For example, he did that great analysis regarding the Trump tax cuts and what that did for everyday people. And as I look back, Steve, at this election, and we did a lot of work. I actually feel like I'm almost, what do I do now? Because it's been on my mind so much. But we have done so much work, but I realize come Monday morning, we need to continue to augment what we are doing. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, they're key components of this show coming to you every single day. And I greatly appreciate them. So you can reach them at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or you can go to AIR Presidential, that's AIRPresidential.com, for more information. That's AIRPresidential.com. And this is Kim Munson with the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. It gives you the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcast, and our most recent op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd appreciate that as well. On the line with me is Richard Barris. He is the managing director of Big Data Poll. We had him on October 29th. To talk about what the polls were saying. He said that the road to victory for Donald Trump was through Pennsylvania. Richard Barris, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me back.
I've been looking forward to talking to you all week, because did you ever dream that we would be where we are today, Richard Barris?
Well, I figured we'd be fighting over Pennsylvania, because the polls always did show that, well, the media polls showed that Biden had a clear advantage. We never saw that. The president was very strong in Pennsylvania the whole time. It was only a matter of how long this kind of stuff would go on, Kim. And here we are now, and I do think we'd be fighting over it. But, you know, this is the first kind of an election that we've had with these moratoriums on election laws. So I didn't think it would be this bad, but here we are.
How is it that many of the other pollsters got it so wrong? Was this a polling assist to Biden by chance?
Yeah. I'm starting now. I'm at the point. You know, I've always been a bit of an idealist, or at least I try to cling to that. But after 2016, I clearly tried to start a conversation about what went wrong. In 2018, it was a repeat. We just ignored it. And heading into 2020, I really am at the point where you would have to have been willfully blind to not know what was going on. And so trying to approach some of these other folks and say, hey, listen, you know, this is what I think you got wrong in 16. This is what I think you got wrong in 18. The reaction was surprising, but now just not so much. I mean, ABC News, Washington Post, Biden by 17 points in Wisconsin, and in the end, he needed something wacky in Milwaukee to take a 10,000 vote lead. You know, I don't buy it anymore. I think it's sad, but I think that's where we're at. I really do.
Well, Frank Luntz had said, I think last week sometime, I think it was before the election, that if in fact the pollsters were really, really wrong, that it is really besmirches their reputation and their credibility. What's your thoughts on that, Richard?
You know, Frank is a funny animal. So Frank has been doing this now for several years, and I think Frank said that out of knowledge that he knew they were wrong, and out of fear that he knew they were wrong. He does his own focus group work. There's just no way that people in my profession did not pick up on what I picked up on. And we were well beyond whether or not the polls would be wrong. We were already into designing questions to try to identify who is a shy Trump voter. So we asked everybody in battleground states whether or not they believed in a shy Trump vote. It was overwhelming, 60s, 70s, never less, high 60s, you know, and mid 70s. And then we would ask, you know, how comfortable people were talking to pollsters and other groups of people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, about their political beliefs and being truthful, such as how you intend to vote. It was a large chunk of the electorate everywhere we polled, and then there just was two groups of people that continued to come up with showing the highest levels of discomfort. It was a suburban woman and a working black man over the age of 30, younger than 65. So it was over and over. There's Ken at this point, for them to have ignored that, they wanted to. It was there was a purpose. They were doing it on purpose because the data was just so overwhelming. We were headed for the biggest polling miss since 1947, and they just ignored it on purpose.
Would you consider this voter suppression? I've heard that different people
say,
really?
I'm there now. I really am. And I hate to say that, but there's really just no other, there is no other explanation. My record in Florida speaks for itself. I'm a Florida guy, and I know the state particularly well. I engaged several big media pollsters to try to, and a good faith professional effort, to try to explain to them why they continue to get Florida wrong. Going back to the 2010 governor election with Rick Scott and Alex Saint, and the arrogance and the hubris that I encountered. You know, at first I just thought, you know what, they're confident in their work. But then looking at what happened going with this election in Florida, I just don't know how they would have missed it. If you polled Miami-Dade, you knew that Donald Trump was going to do historically well for a Republican candidate in Miami-Dade. His margins with Hispanics was incredible. And his and that's true, too, of black voters because of that black male I was just talking about. And they just – you had to have ignored it on purpose, Ken. You had to have. And I don't want to say that. I just don't know what else to attribute it to at this point. It's sad.
Richard Barras, Managing Director of Big Data Poll. We've had several great conversations coming up to this. I'm hearing some emotion in your voice that I find somewhat remarkable. I hear an integrity in your voice that you work to get these polls right. And I'm hearing some kind of emotion there, some frustration that I'm intrigued by. I guess that's the word I'm going to say. I'm intrigued by that, Richard.
Well, then I guess I'm having a hard time masking that a little bit. But that's you're picking up on you're just picking up on it, I guess. I did not want this to happen, Kim. I really hoped and I really prayed that people would put their partisanship, because my industry is dominated by liberals. There's just no doubt about it. And I understand when you have certain clients, they want a result that they want. You just have to have more integrity than that. You just have to, because it's a public service. And I have polling friends in Europe. They don't deal with the same things that it seems modern American pollsters have to deal with, and they're hurting the industry. So there, it's like an ideological corruption, I guess, and it infected us, and it's hurting the industry. And now we're coming to a place where Americans are going to dismiss us like they dismiss slip and fall lawyers or something. I mean, that's really where they're going to put us in that basket soon. And I love this industry. And this industry is supposed to be a public service. And it's just not. It's sad.
Okay, let's go back to this voter suppression thing. As you said, yes, that is voter suppression. And, okay, I'm thinking about this. If, in fact, the headlines had said in Florida, Donald Trump is doing well with Latinos, Donald Trump is doing well with that working black man, that really could have changed people's perceptions on things, correct, Richard Barras?
Absolutely. And also, it raises money. So this is something I think a lot of people need to understand. When a poll comes out and it's a media poll, or even if that's why campaigns leak their own internal polls, they want to show voters we're still in this fight. We have we're still in the hunt here. Give us some money, help us over the finish line. So it works a couple of ways. It doesn't only demoralize and suppress your opponent's vote and enthusiasm, but it helps you raise money so you can keep going. And people always ask me all the time, well, why would they do this? Because the client wants them to do it. It's really that the pressure is enormous, but they're supposed to resist that. But I guess they didn't. I mean, it's pretty clear. You cannot miss Wisconsin that bad. You just can't. You have to be completely incompetent and shouldn't be a pollster, or you're doing it on purpose. There's just no other way around it. NBC News made the decision in September they were never going to switch to likely voters. As your job, it's part of your – as a pollster, it's part of your job to project what the electorate is going to be, what it's going to look like, how they're going to vote. To stick to a registered voter sample really is an abdication of your duty. So there was just all these crazy things like that going on. The only explanation is that it was for narrative, and it was for the benefit of one candidate.
Even so, with this Richard Barras, Donald Trump on Election Day was leading in Pennsylvania and some of these other states. But now with this late counting coming in, It looks like that lead continues to shrink, which I find extremely, extremely curious. But let's think about all the things that have happened to Donald Trump since he took office. There's the Russiagate, the impeachment, the list goes on and on and on. And it seems to me that I should have really been tried to understand this, that they had this plan in place, I think, for after Election Day for these states, if in fact Donald Trump did well. And Donald Trump did better than, as we said, than the pollsters said. He's done better and better. This is kind of like their last hurrah. Now, that may be out of where you normally comment, and, you know, you can tell me that. But what's your thoughts on that, Richard Barris?
Yeah, I'm a Florida guy, and after 2000, we didn't want to ever be the laughing stock of the nation again. So on a bipartisan basis, we have some of the best election integrity laws in the country. You must report how many votes you have by category, whether it's in person, absentee, or election day. The early vote you'll know by 8 p.m. the day before, and you must know those categories by a certain time. There were two officials, Linda in Palm Beach and Brenda Snipes in Broward County, probably everybody knows the most, and they refused to follow these laws. They've been removed, and now this election was the first one without them doing what they typically did, and it went smoothly, very smoothly. There is no doubt that COVID was used as a predicate to essentially put, because other states have laws like this too, COVID was used as a predicate to put a moratorium on some of these election integrity laws. All I can tell you this really for certain, one thing I can tell you for certain, everywhere the election integrity laws were not basically frozen because of COVID, Donald Trump's Election Day margin held up against the early vote. In the states where we knew the early vote total, they were not allowed to submit anything after the election. They were not allowed to just, well, I found another 50,000 in DeKalb County. Everywhere that we had those totals and they were known quantities going into Election Day, the president's margin with the Election Day vote held up and overcame the early vote. Everywhere where they were allowed to have these things go on is everywhere we're seeing these problems. So, you know, I'll let the listeners, you know, take that for what it is, but that's the reality.
Okay, Richard Barris, I hadn't really thought about this, but for election integrity, you would have all these categories. So you would say we have this many mail-in ballots that we haven't counted, or we have this many absentee, or we have this or this. Then they could go in and count that, and those things should reconcile. And that would be a very key component of election integrity, and would question how you could start to have all these other ballots come in. That is a really key point.
That's how we determine when people see there are 95% of precincts reporting. That's how we determine that. And because we didn't have that for so many other states, that's why they were seeing a range. And I get a lot of questions over the last couple of days. Why does it say 75 to 95% reporting? I've never seen that before. And that is because so many of those states, not all of them, and that's why some of them were tighter, we knew. But many of these in the Midwest, the Midwest problematic states right now are the ones we're really talking about. That's why that is a range instead of a more definitive number, because we don't know. It's almost like we're flying blind. Normally we would know by precinct too. It really gets down, it's granular. We get by precinct data, precinct level data that tells us this precinct has 3 out of 5 reported. They're almost done. We had no precinct level data this time. It really was extraordinary.
Which states in particular are you saying that we did not have that data?
Well, basically all of them, because we weren't going to get it for Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. So ironically, the officials in a state like Florida, they've been doing this for so long. Ohio is another one. If we asked them for it, they had it anyway. So they were just ready. I have to give them credit. Those two states, they ran like a well-oiled machine. It was beautiful. But in these other states, they're telling us they were just trying to keep their head above water. So they weren't able to give us that kind of granular level data that we really rely on when it comes to election night.
Okay, and you said the ones that did well was Florida and Ohio, correct?
Beautiful. They did a great job. did a fabulous job. They should give themselves a hand. They really should.
And the ones that were super disorganized are some of those key ones like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay, hey, Richard Barris, we need to go to break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation. Absolutely fascinating. Richard Barris is the managing director of Big Data Poll, and I want to continue. I want to ask you about this election fraud thing. See what your thoughts are on that. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you can rest assured, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is A-OK. Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm good.
Great. I'm wondering if I missed something. It's good to have you here at this time because I see that we now have the jobs numbers. And my gosh, you look at those, Donald Trump should get another 4 years.
At least another 4 years, I would say. But, yeah, the jobs reports was very good. Added another 640,000 jobs back. The unemployment rate is down to 6.9%, which, you know, Kim, that's still not 3.5%, which we were at in Trump's run at the lowest we had. But when you start seeing numbers in the sixes, that's getting back to kind of the realm of normalcy again. It's not great, but it's not massive recession or depression territory. It's a number you can work with. So yeah, I think it was a very strong jobs report. The futures were down about 200 points, and since the job report came out, they've regained most of that, and right now the futures are only down about 22 points, and also, hourly earnings increased by about 4.5% on top of everything else. So we got more jobs, and people that are working are making more money.
It is remarkable what Donald Trump has done, even with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus, China virus reaction disruption, and these job numbers prove it. I have Richard Barris on the line with Big Data Poll. I'm going to ask him about this voter fraud that I think is going on. But my gosh, we look at this, and for everyday hardworking American people, it would be to our benefit for Donald Trump to prevail in all this craziness right now. Jason McBride, your final thought?
Well, my final thought would be that I certainly agree with you on that. I think we still don't know how this election's going to come out. The markets have been very, very volatile. Luckily, they're still close to the highs. Again, I've always said it's a good time to think about making changes when you're in a position of strength rather than waiting until something goes wrong and then you're doing it from a position of fear or panic and you're doing it when you have a lot less money. So not a bad time to talk to one of our fine advisors at Presidential Wealth Management just to get a checkup, if that's all it is. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, and set up a discovery session for yourself.
And Jason McBride, when opportunity knocks, answer the door.
That's right.
We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks so much.
Bye, Kim.
Okay. Richard Barris, a managing director of Big Data Poll. It looks to me like there is some election fraud going on. We are seeing videos before they closed up, people being able to look at things in Philadelphia. Kevin Sorbo had tweeted out a video of somebody counting ballots, looking at it, visibly did not like the results on that ballot, wadded it up, threw it out. With election fraud, I said in the first segment to producer Steve, in these states where we see that there's election fraud and it's provable, that means I think there's other election fraud going on as well. I think we should have a do-over in these states. Just start all over and just do the election again in those states. Richard, is that a crazy idea?
Well, it's important to remember that Democrats alleged election fraud in the election in North Carolina back in 2018. They found very small, and I'm talking very small, instances of fraud with absentee ballots, and they got a judge to order a new election, which is why we had the special election with Bishop and the Democrats. It starts with an M. It's slipping my brain now, but they got one because of a very small, but it was provable, a very small instance of absentee ballot fraud. So here, I did see that video that you're commenting on. That's Atlanta. Now, I don't know what Governor Brian Kemp is doing over there, but that is a place where they had told us two mornings ago they had 17,000 ballots. That was it. And because we're just trying to do our job. And they told us they had 17,000 outstanding ballots. That was not going to be enough to draw this margin where it is now. And not an hour later, it turned into a 50. So, you know, if they would have done this transparently and like we have done this with every other election cycle, then they wouldn't have to be suffering these allegations. But they tried to hide everything. They were not transparent. They were keeping out watchers. So I just don't know what other conclusion they thought we were gonna come to. I don't know how everyone thought this would turn out any different.
Okay, so a do-over might be what we need to do because if you have election fraud over here. And you said that was just a small amount of election fraud in North Carolina in 2018. If reports are verified, it looks like it could be significantly more in these key battleground states. And we need to, and I mentioned this in the first segment, Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he has brought clarity to these issues that have been facing America, that have been percolating underneath the surface. We've realized that there's been challenges with our elections. And my gosh, the mask is off on this, Richard Barris.
Yeah, we get a lot of things on Twitter, Kim. And sometimes, you know, something will pique my interest. And somebody had sent me something alleging that there was some dead absentee ballot voters in Michigan. And I have access to voter files. I took one entry. That's it. I took one. I used the information from the Social Security Death Index, and then I plugged it into your voter information that the Secretary of State has in Michigan. And sure enough, this gentleman, who was born in 1902, requested an absentee ballot in September. He submitted it on October 3rd, and he voted by absentee ballot. He's been dead since 1984. He died at the age of 82 in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh my!
The idea that it's not provable is ludicrous on its face. And we do have access to the voter files, so it piqued my interest. And I thought, you know what? Let me look. And we know about thousands on the voter file that are dead. This gentleman wasn't even listed as dead. So it's unbelievable. I don't think Americans understand the extent to which, I mean, looking at those dates, they've been at this for months.
And you know what? They actually telegraphed to us that they were going to do this. As I look back, it's like when they said, oh, we will not know on election day. And Pelosi says, we'll not know on election day. This may take extra days. They were setting people up for this, I think, Richard Barris. Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left. Where do we go from here?
I think that's up to the president, but I think this is what's going to happen. They will try to, and by they I mean the Biden campaign will try to, and they have the media on their side, they'll try to close the books on Pennsylvania because the votes that were counted in Philadelphia, they weren't observed. So the Trump campaign would have to ask for a re-canvass and an audit, not just there are recounts and then there are canvasses. They're different. And when you re-canvass, you can find a lot of discrepancies outside of just re-feeding ballots through a machine, because that's all a recount will do. That's what they need to do. And then if they can prove large numbers of fraud, then they could bring it to the state legislature if the judge in those districts are not very Republican-friendly. Let's face it, Pennsylvania is not at all Republican-friendly. They're very liberal judges over there. That's the remedy they have. But I will tell you, Arizona is going to flip to President Trump today. We think there's better than a 75% chance that's going to happen, but that would still leave him needing Pennsylvania or a combination of the other two states. So that really is their only recourse at this point.
Oh, this is absolutely fascinating, Richard Barris. I so appreciate, I now feel like you're my friend as we've started to go through these conversations and search for truth. And what you have told us today, I have some great hope here, Richard Barris. What is your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Richard Barris, Managing Director of Big Data Poll?
Let's be skeptical of these pollsters in my industry, be very skeptical, and let's never conduct an election like this again. People deserve better than this. Voters deserve better than this. This was absolutely by design, and we can do this better. We can.
Oh, my gosh. Richard Barris, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch. We are living history right now.
Absolutely. Anytime, Kim. Enjoy it thoroughly.
Okay. Thank you. My friends, I find this conversation absolutely fascinating. Next week, in the third and fourth segment, we will be focusing on 5 different amazing veterans, 1 each day. So be sure and tune in for that. Winston Churchill said this. He said, "Success is not final and failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.